As Ronnie said, my name is Dwayne Brown. My wife Patty is right over there, sitting by herself. We're delighted to be here. We live here in Greenwood. We moved up here in August 28th of last summer, so we're here not even yet a year. I was born and raised in upstate New York. Patty was born and raised in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, Canada. I was called to ministry and moved to Canada and studied for ministry and ended up staying up there for 12 years and pastoring and planting in the Wesleyan denomination. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But I came to OMS just at the time of COVID hitting, April 15th, 2020, as director of Church Partners. And there I'm helping OMS launch a new department called Church Partners, in which we're trying to engage churches. You know, when you think of the mission agency, like OMS, you think when OMS comes to the church, because I understand, they bring their truck and they back it up to the front door and say, let us have your people and your money. And so that's an unfortunate paradigm that we often have about mission agencies. And OMS wants me to help resource churches. We want to help churches grow mission. We want to back up our truck and say, here's a bunch of things that will help you grow missions. And so your pastor, Paul, is in a cohort that I'm launching, that we've got six pastors from all over the country, including Pastor Paul. And we're just working, talking about how do we grow missions at your local church. And so Paul is one of our veterans in the cohort, so we're excited to have him and all that he brings to the table. But I bring you greetings on behalf of our president, Bob Featherland. You know, right now, because of you, there are 6,000 leaders around the world through our village church planting training that are getting ready, 7,000 leaders getting ready to plant a church in their own home country. Thank you for supporting David Dick and his family, for the Chambers, for the Overtons, and for the Meeks. Thank you for your support of OMS. It helps us raise up people in other countries, the sons and daughters of the nations, so that they can take that transforming power of the gospel, put it in their hands, and help them, through the power of the Holy Spirit, transform their world. So would you do for me, pat somebody on the back, your wife, not your neighbor's wife, but pat them on the back and thank them for their prayers and support of OMS. Will you do that? Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for all that you do for OMS. I'm excited to be here. This is the first time I preached since COVID's kind of opened up, so I'm glad to see your beautiful faces, so glad that you're here this morning. So let's bow our heads and ask God to bless this time together. And I'm going to invite you to pray to yourself quietly, you and the Lord. Just bow your head and pray. And invite the Holy Spirit of God to speak to us this morning. So Lord, I pray with my brothers and sisters that prayer that you would speak to us today. Whatever you want us to hear, Lord, may we have ears attentive to hear your voice. I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said amen and amen. If you brought your Bibles this morning, I'm inviting you to turn to Genesis chapter 5 in verse 21, and then hold your place there and go over to Hebrews chapter 11 as well, because we're going to read from that passage. We're going to talk about a man that doesn't often get a lot of attention in the Bible. His name is Enoch. And I want you to leave here with this one idea. Enoch was a man who pleased God. Enoch was a man who pleased God. And I hope that as we go out of this place today, we'll better understand what it means to be a person who pleases the God of heaven. And so if you brought your Bibles once again, Genesis chapter 5 and beginning at verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. Amazing story that we want to talk to you about. And then over to Hebrews chapter 11, as I said to you earlier. Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith passage in verse 6. Here, the writer of Hebrews, several thousand years later, is writing back, talking about Enoch to the people at the day in which he was writing. He says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And then in verse number 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Let's talk about Enoch this morning. You know, the Bible, God gave us the Bible not as a science textbook. And so sometimes I think we come to the Bible and we look for science when it's not written for that purpose. It's written to be a story of God's plan to save a hopelessly lost world. That's what the Bible is about. And we get a glimpse into how God saved one man from a hopelessly lost world. I want to ask you a question this morning. What will the world remember about you? What will the world remember about you when you're gone from this world? Now, let's take that one step further. Next Sunday, imagine this. The Indiana Star is getting ready, and they're going to do a whole paper on your life. Okay? You with me now? You feel good about that? They're going to write about everything you said and everything you did, and it's going to be plastered all over the paper. The whole edition, the whole Sunday edition, is going to be about you and about your life and about what you said and what you did. Now, I don't know about you, but that conjures up all kinds of feelings. Maybe of embarrassment. Maybe you feel proud. Maybe you feel glad that people get to know about your life. But the reality is, how are you living your life? Are you living as a life that pleases God? Because the world is full of lots of godly and ungodly people, and the scriptures are full of lots of godly and ungodly people, and we're going to be introduced to a man named Enoch who pleased God. He is a unique man. You know, Enoch is one of two men in all of the Bible who were taken up to God while they were alive. The Bible says he's walking with God, and all of a sudden God takes him up. Do you know who the other person was that was taken up while he was alive on earth? Elijah, yes. So only two men that we know of were translated from this life to the next. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and then he was no more. You know, God didn't come to Enoch as some kind of a heavenly hitman ready to annihilate him. No, God came to Enoch because he said, I love your life. You have been such a man who has brought glory and honor. The world has seen who you are, and so he took him up just like that. The Bible is replete with stories of folks who chose to walk with God. Noah, in chapter 6, what we would learn about, was a man who walked with God despite the times in which he lived. Abraham was a man who walked with God. In fact, he walked so right with God, he walked so well with God, that God said, I am going to make you the father of all nations, Abraham. Now, ladies, before you think I left you out, there's lots of women in the Bible that walked with God. Ruth was a Moabitess. Ruth was a woman who walked with God. She said to her husband, I will go where you go, and the God that you walk with is the God that I will walk with. And so the pattern of Scripture is, yes, lots of people who didn't walk with God, but lots of people who did walk with God, and Enoch was one of them. And I want us to learn what we can learn from Enoch and how he walked with God. Let me begin by saying, what does it mean to walk with God? You know, what does that mean? And I would boil it down to this. If we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, a person who walks with God is a person who very simply pleases God by faith. A person who walks with God is a person who pleases God. Think about it, folks. There is only one person's opinion in all of this world, in all of this universe that should concern you. And the opinion that matters most is God's opinion of your life. And so I would ask you this morning, is your life pleasing to God? Out there, outside the church, as you're out there rubbing shoulders with people at the gas station and people at work and people at the grocery store, is your life pleasing to Almighty God? People who please God know His expectations and His plans for them, and they do them with all their whole heart. I want you to see a picture. They're going to bring this picture up. We're talking about Enoch from Genesis chapter 5, and this is a picture of Enoch that was painted by a Dutch artist, Gerard Hout. I want you to take a look at that. I hope you can see it. Can you see it okay? But take a look at it. I know it's Sunday morning and all your creative juices are gone, but dig down deep with what energy you've got left for the Lord and look at that picture and take a moment to study it. This is Hout's picture of Eden, of Enoch being taken up into heaven. And I love the artistry around this. I love that we can look at this picture and we can begin to imagine what it must have been like, because I want you to imagine this man. Now, he looks to be a white man, and Enoch, I don't expect, had white skin. He might have had darker skin. But look at that, how Hout pictures him. It's almost like, if you look at it, his feet are stepping up stairs as he's going up to heaven. And his right hand is open towards God, like he knows what's coming. He sees Almighty God in his vision in this real situation. And his other hand, his left hand, look at it. You can't see it, but a couple of fingers, his bottom two fingers, are still hooked. And it's almost like he's letting go. I don't know if this is what the artist imagined, but it's almost like he's letting go of the earth. And then look at the people down below. There's one man right under him who's looking up with his hand up, perhaps wondering and hoping that Enoch would come back. And others are just kind of watching this scene unfold as this man who walked with God, who was pleasing to God, is taken up into heaven. Enoch walked with God. Thank you. Enoch was the... Let's learn a little bit about Enoch as we study this passage. Enoch was the seventh son of Adam in the line of Seth. His name means teacher. Do we have any teachers in the building today? I bet some of you teachers who are in the building would wish that when you're right in the thick of it with your students, God would just take you up, right? Because it's so tiring to deal with these middle schoolers. They wear me out. My wife's a preschool assistant and hopes to be a preschool teacher soon. And I mean, she loves the kids. They their noses run and they drool on her. And so, but she just loves it. And so that's what it takes, right? Your life has but one purpose, and that's to serve others. So Enoch was this. Now it's interesting about Enoch being the seventh son of Adam, because you need to understand that as you kind of go back a chapter before, there's a man named Lamech who was also the seventh son of Adam. But he was in the line. Remember, Adam had several sons, and one son was Seth, and Enoch was of the line of Seth. And then Lamech was of the sign of the lineage of Cain. And what do you know about Cain and Abel, right? Cain and Abel were interesting sons of Adam. Cain was pretty much a dastardly dude. I mean, Cain killed his brother. And so the lineage, the people that followed Cain, including Lamech, were not great people. They did not please God. In fact, Lamech was known as one who was proud. He didn't care about God. And so the Bible records this guy as 10 times or 100 times worse than his own offspring. And so the writer of this passage wants you to understand the contrast between Lamech, who was this awful, wicked man, and Enoch, who walked with God and pleased God. It's important that we understand this contrast. And I want to come back to that at the end of my talk this morning. I want to talk to you about guys that I met in Nova Scotia named Bob and named Tim and talk to you about them. You know, the point of the matter is, folks, Enoch lived in a very wicked world. He wasn't part of the normal crowd that walked with God. No, the crowd that he rubbed shoulders with were pretty wicked people. And as we get through this passage, we know what's coming in chapter 6, right? We know God's getting ready to destroy the earth. And yet here we find a man named Enoch who walked with God. But this week, I talked to two missionaries in my conversations and Zoom conversations. One was a lady named Olivia. I was on a Zoom call with a bunch of other leaders from around the U.S. and Canada talking about how do we make disciples. And I found out that Olivia lives in Bridgetown, Nova Scotia. And I'm like, oh, you live in Nova Scotia? I used to live in Nova Scotia. In fact, I planted a church over there in Kentville. So here, 20-some years later, I'm meeting somebody her husband is named Tony, and she's Olivia, and they're planting a church in Bridgetown, which is about an hour away from where Patty and I used to live, where our son was born. And she's telling me about how she's trying to plant a church and a disciple-making movement near Bridgetown, Nova Scotia. And she's saying, Duane, like, people here are drowning in nominalism. I'd love to know, Duane, what it was like for you living in Nova Scotia when you were a pastor and church planter and missionary, because it's pretty hard here. And I said, yeah, I remember, it's hard. But she's like, people are just drowning in nominalism. A nominal person is someone who kind of just is a Christian in name only. You know, they call, if you came to their door from the Canadian government and did a census and said, what's your religion? They would say, well, it's Christianity. But it doesn't make a difference in their life. And she said, we've got all these nominal people, and it's hard to get to them. It's hard to bring Jesus to them. And then I talked to a gal by the name of Anne, who's over in Ireland. Any Irish people? Anybody from Ireland here? And Anne I was getting introduced to Anne as one of our missionaries, trying to learn what God is doing in her ministry. And I said, Anne, tell me what it's like to do ministry in Ireland. And she said, Duane, you know, most Irish people are Catholic, but she said they might bring their kids to be baptized or christened in the Catholic Church because they're going to get like €1,000 from all their friends and family. And so they bring their kids to get baptized in the church because that's the thing to do. But she said, beyond that, she said they're almost antagonistic to the church and to the gospel. And so Olivia is dealing with nominalism, and Anne is dealing with antagonism to the gospel, and we here at Murphy's Landing area, Center Grove area, we're dealing with a lot of the same things. We're living in a world that's not a friend of grace, a world that is antagonistic to the gospel, and it takes all of the grace of God working in our lives to help us live in a way that we can walk with Him, that we can know Him, and that we can be a pleasing to Him so that others might see the difference that God could make in our life. You know, Enoch was a misfit. Do you feel like you're a misfit in a wicked place, whether it's at home with a spouse who doesn't know Jesus, or children who don't, or co-workers who don't know Jesus? You're like, Duane, I sometimes wish I could just be taken up like Enoch and be translated from this life to the next. But God hasn't chose to take you, folks. You must stay here. You must be a light in darkness. You must be faithful. You must please God. Enoch lived 365 years, and for us, that's a long time. Wow. But in reality, folks, he was the youngest guy among his contemporaries. I mean, his son Methuselah was the oldest. You know what, folks? It's not necessary to live a long life to please God. He was half the age of a lot of his contemporaries, and yet the Bible says he pleased God. I think sometimes we leave off the desire to please God. We say, well, I'll wait. I'll wait till I get older. Because it's the older people. They got more time to this thing called Christianity and pleasing God. So I'll wait till then. No, right now, no matter what age you are, God is calling you to be faithful to Him and to bring honor to Him in the daily choices that you make. Don't transgress His laws. Don't give the newspaper article another story to write about you, but something that's good. You know, I was looking over why people lived so long in the Old Testament, and it's an amazing, and I won't go into the details, but we look at people living like Methuselah, hundreds, you know, 900 years, and we're like, wow, how did that happen? Well, it was the earth was newly formed. There wasn't a lot of diseases around there. All kinds of reasons why people lived longer. But nonetheless, they did. Enoch was, as they say in Britain, Enoch was an ordinary bloke. We don't see anything special about Enoch, but that he walked with God and he pleased God. And he lived his life with excellence. And folks, let me tell you something. God uses ordinary people like Enoch, and he calls them to walk with him. You may say, I am not an Olympian. I am not some super saint, Dwayne. I'm just an ordinary bloke. That's okay. God wants to use ordinary people like you and like me to walk with him. And so don't wait until somehow God gives you some supernatural whatever so that you can be this Olympic type Christian and then show the world how awesome he is. No, start right now. What's the greatest or the largest room in this church? What is it? This room. No, you're wrong. This is not the largest room in the church. The largest room in the church is the room for improvement. Right? It's not here. It's not what happens for this hour. It's the room for improvement. So Enoch was an ordinary guy. He was a young guy, I mean, his contemporaries, but he lived in a wicked world. And yet he sought after God to be pleasing to him. Let's jump over to Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to wrap us up here. So here we are thousands of years later, perhaps, and this writer is reflecting on the life of Enoch. And he was talking about how this guy was so successful in his walk with God that he made it to this, what people call the Hall of Faith. Here's all of these wonderful people who followed after God with all their hearts, and they made it into the Hall of Faith. Yes, ordinary people, ordinary men and women can make it all the way to the top and be part of the Hall of Faith. And this entire chapter, in fact, is the most extensive chapter in all of the Bible about faith. And the writer takes the life of Enoch in a nutshell to describe and define what it means to live a life of faith, the most clearest definition. Scripture says Enoch was a man of faith, and I know that's a loaded term, but let me give you a few things about what it meant. A person of faith believes God and sincerely and diligently seeks after God. What did I tell you? It means to please God. It means to walk with God. Just get walking with God by faith. And folks, I would be amiss today if I didn't come to the end of my talk this morning and I would begin to, I hope, by the Holy Spirit, call you to action. To call you out of any mundaneness or any weariness that you have about your Christian faith. If you're into the church today and you're saying, I'm here, but I'm barely here. I'm here because God wants me to call you forward to take one step deeper into that life of pleasing Him, of honoring Him, of walking with Him by faith. You know, it may require a 180-degree turn for you. You've been walking in this direction in life, and God's calling you, hey, I want you to start pleasing me, son, daughter, and you need to start walking this way. 180. But are you willing to do it? Are you willing to put your faith and trust in God Almighty and begin walking with Him every day, just like Enoch did? A person of faith pulls hope from the future into every single day of their life so that they can please God. I love, that's what faith is, folks. It's pulling the hope of God from that future right into today and living it out. A person of faith is not someone mystical or someone who possesses a spirituality that has no boots on the ground. That's not what it means to walk with God and be pleasing to Him. It's boots on the ground. It's daily just walking out with God. A person of faith does not see God as the ticket master of heaven who doles out tickets to riches or prosperity or wealth or health. That's not what a person of faith is. A person of faith doesn't believe in God only when it suits him or her. A person of faith is not a worrywart. You know, when you worry, you act as though God doesn't exist. Are you worried about something this morning, young people? Are you anxious? They're telling me that anxiety and depression, and I get it. We've got all kinds of reasons to be anxious today. But by the grace of God, we've got to get on our knees and we've got to just give up that anxiety. I talked to someone the other day who wasn't a believer on Facebook, and I'm trying to witness to this person, and they're talking about not being able to sleep because they're anxious. And I'm like, take it to the Lord. I try, the person says, but it doesn't do any difference. It doesn't make any difference. You know, how many of you have a calendar in your kitchen or in your living somewhere? You got a calendar that hangs up. A lot of you do. And your calendar's got like 30 boxes, right, for every day, or 31 if it's July. Well, the reason why God had us have calendars with boxes in them for each day is because He wants you to live in your day box. Live in your day box. Look at your calendar. Every day you got a box with boundaries around it. Don't borrow trouble from June 13th. Live in the box of day 12. Take it one box at a time, one day at a time, and don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. A person of faith is not someone who takes blind leaps into darkness. That's not what a person of faith is. No, let me push back and say, or step back from that and say, remember I told you earlier on that the Bible is not a science textbook, it's a story. And we often look at the Bible, people look at the Bible and they look at all the perceived problems. And I get it. There's things in there I don't understand. There's things that are confusing. I get that. God, but we got to set that aside. And we've got to put our trust in Almighty God because, folks, the reality is Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to find eternal life and to find happiness and live a life that pleases God but through Jesus Christ. So is your life pleasing to God today? I'm going to wrap up by telling you about a couple of men. I told you about Lamech, who was of the son of who? The line of who? Cain, who were the bad guys. And then there was Enoch, who came of the seventh son of Adam, of Seth's lineage, and he was a great guy. Well, two guys that I met. The first guy was Bob. Bob was a fisherman in Sanford, Nova Scotia, where I first pastored. And Bob had been a Newfoundlander and moved from Newfoundland. Any had ever been to Newfoundland, Canada? He moved from Newfoundland over to Sanford area to go lobster fishing, which was what everybody did around there. And Bob had grown up in the church, a Pentecostal church in Newfoundland, Canada. And so I got to know Bob and his wife, Anne Marie. They were good to me. I was a single guy, hungry. They would invite me in to feed me. And I got to know this couple really well. And I used that opportunity to witness to them. And Bob began to tell me, Duane, he said, I know what it's going to take for me to get back to Christ. I used to love Jesus. I used to go to church. I used to do the things I should have done. I used to please God. But he said, if I make a decision to go back with the Lord, my life's got to change. I can't go hunting anymore on Sunday. I got to get myself in church. And I got to start tithing. I got to start giving. I got to start changing some things that I do to be a person who pleases God, basically. And I just don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Imagine a person who, it's like you got $1 billion in front of you and you're going to return it down? Bob's wife, Anne Marie, one summer went back to Newfoundland, and she heard a drama called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flame. And during that service, she heard about that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and being Catholic, the Holy Spirit, despite that, despite all the blockages and things in front of her, got a hold of her in that church pew and church service, and she came back and said, "Dwayne, I grabbed onto the pew with all of my might to prevent me from going forward to give my life to Jesus." And she said, my fingers are so swelled, my ring won't come off yet. Grabbed onto that pew and said, "No way. I'm not going forward." So Bob, Anne Marie. But then there was a guy by the name of Tim that I met in my last church. Tim was actually a wealthy man. He was a very successful fisherman. But he didn't do everything above board. He didn't do everything right. He had grown up in the church. He had given his life to Jesus. But Tim was sitting in the back pew wearing his nice suit, but he wasn't serving Jesus, and he knew it. And so here comes this young preacher, Brown, into this church, and he starts preaching about pleasing God and getting your life right. And Tim comes I'd go visit Tim. We'd go hunting together. I'd sit in the tree stand with him. I'd talk to him about Jesus. And finally, through a series of unfortunate situations, Tim surrendered his life to Jesus. He wasn't like Bob, who said, "I know what I need to do and I'm unwilling." No, he surrendered his life to Jesus. He had to. He had no choice. He knew it. And he said to me, "Dwayne, you would come to the house, you would sit in the tree stand with me, and I would know. Please don't." He'd like, "Please don't let this guy come to my house. Because I know what I need to do." But he finally surrendered to Jesus. And Tim now is living for the Lord. He's not a perfect guy. Look, trying to please God doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means you're committed to walking with Him and trying with all His grace to please Him. Are you going to be like Bob and Anne Marie? Or are you going to be like Tim? Where are you at this morning? I just want to challenge you as you leave this place this morning to give your life to Jesus if you haven't. Make a commitment to let Him help you please Him. And as you walk with Him, be the light of His good news to a lost world. Let's pray together. Lord, we said this morning the largest room in this building is not this room. The largest room is the room for improvement. So Lord, we're here asking, Holy Spirit, that You would work in each heart. You'd move in and out of these pews, these seats, and that You would remind each one of us where we are in the journey of pleasing You. If we're not where we need to be, Lord, if we're like Tim, where we know what we need to do, but we're running, we don't want Pastor Paul coming by because we feel that conviction. We feel uneasy because we know, Lord, help us to do a 180 and begin walking a different way, because there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Lord, use my brothers and sisters here throughout this week to be pleasing to You, to walk with You, and let others see, others who live in this wicked world, see the goodness of God working through them. And I pray all this in Your strong name. Amen and amen. With that, I am finished today. There is no closing song. And so you are dismissed. Let's stand together as we prepare to go. And may the peace of God, the love of God, the grace of God, folks, be upon all of you as you walk from this place out into a world who needs Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a great Sunday. Thank you.